Hey everyone, welcome to Young's Court Podcast episode 4. NBA season is just flying by. We're already 2 weeks into the season, and yesterday, you know, just to start the conversation, I was around a lot of basketball people, and we actually had two guest speakers. We had Coach Hurley come in from St. Anthony's, legendary coach, arguably the best high school basketball coach ever anywhere, and he was just so motivating and talking about key things to be a great coach. So I had a lot of great takeaways from that. And then after that, we had Alex Klein come in, who is a scout for the Pelicans. And I asked him personally a question where I said, who do you honestly think is going to win the NBA championship this year? And he answered with, it's so wide open. And I just thought about my podcast and how I could relate, you know, what he said. And I just honestly cannot say that truthfully this season is wide open. Although we're off to a great start, and, you know, during the NBA season, so many things change. And I did agree with him that it's really injury based. If we look at Golden State last year and we look at them this year, it's really injury based. So my first question is, will Golden State make the playoffs this year? Well, I think we can go ahead and say a definite hard no. You know, with Steph Curry's broken hand, it's going to be rebuilding era in Golden State for the first time in a long time. I think Draymond is sidelined for a few weeks now too, and it's a great time for them to evaluate some of the other talent they have on the team. And you know, I don't think it's over for Golden State, because when Steph comes back, who he says he wants to play in the Olympics next summer, Draymond comes back, Klay Thompson comes back, and then they can really develop these other guys and find out what they have, along with the three or four guys that they've had injured who haven't even played this season, and Willie Cauley-Stein, Alec Burks, and they also have Kevon Looney, who has not played a game yet. And I think they will be integral parts of their team going forward. So Golden State's clearly not going to make the playoffs. We cannot continue to talk about basketball and this week and what happened last week without talking about Joel Embiid and Karl-Anthony Towns' fight. It was kind of comical because there was no punches thrown. But you know, I was talking with a few people about before the suspension came out to see, you know, how many games do you think they're going to get? And I think the highest I got from people was 10-game suspension. And I said, and I thought to myself, wow, that sounds pretty lengthy considering, you know, they were like bear hugging or they were choking each other, some would say. They ended up getting 2-game suspension, which I think is about right, because they are two of, I can truthfully say, the superstars in the NBA, and we can't go ahead and have guys, you know, out 5 and 10+ games for, you know, not physically touching, you know, not physically actually punching each other or doing anything of that nature. And, you know, what really threw me off guard is how Ben Simmons in the whole equation got no game suspension. He was clearly in the tussle, clearly was trying to help not break up the fight, but he was adding on to it by, you know, trying to you know, make Karl-Anthony Towns kind of tap out. You know, I don't know if he was mad or he tapped the ground, but it was very funny. Another question I have is, and I'm a Jets fan, so you know, the whole talk this week was about Jamal Adams and Le'Veon Bell, and how should a player feel if they come up in trade talks? They feel honored or disrespected? And I am 100% on the side of disrespected. I think as a Jets fan, there's no way we should be trading players like Le'Veon Bell or even talking about Jamal Adams. Those are the two most talented and positive players the Jets might have ever had. This season has been a complete struggle, and these players have consistently felt like every week we could win. And as a fan, I kind of look at it like we really didn't have much of a chance. So I think the whole talk should be about going forward for players should be about, if a team is going to trade you, they need to talk to you about it, and they need to let you know. You can't kind of be going behind players' backs, because I feel like those two players, or Jamal Adams specifically, had the right to feel the way he did afterwards. My Western Conference player of the week is Anthony Davis. He put up 40 points and 20 rebounds and three quarters of play. It's kind of historic. I don't know the next time we're going to see something like that. And I had the pleasure of watching the game to the third quarter. It was a West Coast game. So, you know, after that, I was like, the game is over. It was a blowout. And I, you know, woke up to seeing he didn't even play the fourth quarter, which was crazy. And then he had another good game against Dallas where he scored 30 plus. But him and LeBron are starting to figure it out, which is great for Lakers fans. And then my Eastern Conference Player of the Week is Kemba Walker. It's kind of like going underneath the radar. 33 points against the Knicks. I know people will say, oh, it's the Knicks. And then 32 points against the Bucks in a win. So Boston, I feel like the rest of their team is doing what they were already doing. And now you're adding a player that is a definite scorer, just a hard worker. And he's like a leader, a kind of like a quiet, silent leader. And I feel like he's plugged into this team and fit very well. And they had a lot of young talent that needed to get their roles increased. So this is already off to a great start for Boston. Let's get into my power rankings for this week. At number 10, no change, I had Dallas Mavericks. They're still at 3-2. And they had a good loss. You never want to say a loss is a good loss, but they lost in an extremely exciting overtime game to the Lakers, and Luka Doncic put on a show. And every time I talk to basketball people about Luka Doncic, they say, wow, you know, and they start talking about European basketball and their system and how it's working and how guys are, you know, coming over here more fundamentally prepared to play in the NBA, and you definitely see it with him. I think he's a once in a generation player coming over from Europe, and you know he's making the game great because he's so talented. So at number 9 we have Houston. I have them down 2 spots, and this is a team that at 3-2. You know, I'm confident they're going to have a great regular season, but right now they still have a lot of things to figure out. I mean, Harden had an incredible performance this week, 59 points. And I just don't understand, like, how he has 59 points in regulation and how they gave up so many points in that game. I just feel like this team defensively should be much better. And they have to really commit to playing defense before I can boost them up in the power rankings, because it's a team that should stay in the top 10, have a legit chance at a championship at the end of the season, but they got to play defense because they're going to get up a lot of shots. And they have good pieces defensively. So we'll see how that goes going forward. At number 8, I have the Spurs at 4-1. They moved up one spot in my rankings. And, you know, this team has got a lot of talent. I think it's a lot of talent that we've written off in LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan. But, you know, this is a team that's kind of deep. I saw Patty Mills had a good game this week. And, you know, they just have a lot of players that can just come in and they just do their job. And it's going to be a tough out for anybody if this team is healthy going into the playoffs. It's a team that you definitely do not want to see in the first or second round, because it's a team that runs a system. It's a team that takes care of the ball. And it's a team that has multiple players at every position that can do things in their starting five and off the bench. At number 7, I have Utah at 4-2. They're down one spot. I think Utah is, you know, one of those teams that I talked about at the beginning of the year. Another team like Houston going to have tons of regular season wins. But, you know, they've got a lot to figure out with their two players, and I talked about that last week. I just feel like Utah, they have tons of talent, and it takes time for a guy like Mike Conley to get acclimated. He's not off to the greatest start, but I look for this Utah team, just because of their depth and their, you know, Donovan Mitchell, to really carry them, propel them. And I would love to see, you know, what they're going to do or what seed they get and how they do in the playoffs. At number six, I have Boston. They're up two spots from number eight last week. And Boston's at 4-1. This is a team, like I said before with Kemba Walker talk, tons of talent. Love Jason Tatum. Great three-pointer at the end. Brad Stevens, he is the best coach when it comes to plays at the end of the game. I always, as a coach myself, and somebody who loves basketball, always want to tune in to see what kind of play he's drawing up at the end. Yes, great shot by Jason Tatum, but he always gets guys into great positions at the end of the game to make tough shots. At number five, I have Milwaukee. Stayed at number five. You know, Giannis is really had the potential to be MVP again this year. You know, they're 4-2 right now, and it's another team that's just going to win tons of regular season games. And we're so early in the season, we're just, you know, figuring out where what team's identity is going to be. But this is a team that already has an identity. It has not changed from last year. It's basically play through him. He's one of the best defenders, one of the best two-way players in the NBA. At number four, I have Denver. Denver, they have moved from number three, so they moved down a spot. We finally got to see Michael Porter Jr. Play. He made his debut, and people have been waiting for this guy to have, you know, an impact on the league. He's very talented. But I kind of feel like with Denver, the question is, does a team have too many players, too much talent? Because we need to see Michael Porter Jr. We need to see so many different players. And it's like it runs through Jokic and Jamal Murray. But, you know, what happens, you know, if those two have bad games, other players need to step up. And who would that be consistently? But I really love Denver. At three, Philly. Philly is the NBA's only undefeated team at 5-0. I switched them with Denver. They're just going to keep moving up. This team is, you know, in the East Coast, I don't really feel like there's a threat for them besides Milwaukee. And, you know, Philly is off to a great start. They had some great wins already. And I'm interested to see, like, at the end of the regular season, is this one of the teams that has the best record? Definitely in the East, I expect that between them and Milwaukee. But, you know, I feel like it's a crash course between them and Milwaukee. So we'll see how that goes with Philly at 5-0. They also won the fight because not only did Joel Embiid get thrown into the fight and get two-game suspension, and Karl-Anthony Towns got a two-game suspension, but Ben Simmons played his role in the fight and got 0 games. So Philly was the winners of that. At number two, I had a switch this week. I put the Clippers. This is still one of the most talented teams in the league, and it's hard to rank them in the power rankings further, you know, or put them further down because they're kind of, you know, they had a game with Kawhi who was in load management. So you can't really count that game. So they could possibly be 5-1 right now. And then they're playing without arguably their second best player in Paul George. And they're still at 4-2. It feels like they're just going to be coasting through this season. And it's a team that, you know, definitely on paper is the best defensive team. And on paper, arguably the most talented team in the NBA. So, you know, it's hard to evaluate week after week where they're going to be until we see their wholesome team. And we're not going to see that for a few weeks. But I have the Clippers at number two. And at number one, I have the Lakers back to the top. In my first week, the Lakers were the best team in my power rankings. And I still think it's between them and the Clippers all season to be the best team in the NBA. And, you know, we're just starting to see LeBron and Anthony Davis mesh. LeBron actually had a great game against Dallas where he put up, you know, incredible numbers in the triple-double and overtime win where he really took over down the stretch. But we're seeing this, like, either LeBron or Anthony Davis can take over a game. And we're going to see this all season because they're two of the NBA's superstars on one team. So the Lakers, I mean, and the Clippers and, you know, in the West, they're going to be very tough to beat when they're playing their best basketball. And you see a guy like Danny Green step up and hit a big three at the end of the game. You know, it was reminiscent to me of Ray Allen. You know, they have that type of player, caliber player, that can make big shots at the end of the game. And I can't wait till Kyle Kuzma gets back to see how that affects their offense. just like when Anthony Davis only played three quarters and had 40 points and 20 rebounds, I can see more of that for LeBron and Anthony Davis going forward. And you talk about load management in a different sense. You know, when you have so much talent on the court and you can score and you can have guys not playing the fourth quarter, that's what they need going forward. So there's my power rankings for, you know, for this week, episode four. And, you know, I'm so excited for this NBA season. And I'm even just as excited for the college basketball season, which opens up with a big game on Tuesday night. We have Duke and Kansas. And I'd love to see what's going to happen. You know, my friends are already, we're already talking about, is Duke going to win it this year? You know, every year, them in Kansas, they get far, but they don't win it. And, you know, the college basketball storylines are kind of built this season around Michigan State, who returned Cassius Winston, who is arguably the best point guard in the nation, preseason All-American. And I cannot wait for that as well. You guys have a great week, and I will see you guys soon.